My name is Simon Cox. The date is October 1st, 2009, and the time is 1:15 in the afternoon, and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to say your name, age, and where you've come from?
Barry Hipwell, 50, and from Lingwood in Norfolk.
How long have you lived there?
Well, I was actually born in Norfolk, but I moved away and come back. But so most of my life, I was in the forces as well, so I lived away. But I would say probably out of my life, a total of 40 of those 50 years, I've lived there.
What section of the forces were you in?
I was in the Royal Engineers in the Army. So.
And when did you join them?
When I left school, when I was 16, I went there straight from boarding school and did 5 years from one boarding school to another, really.
Why did you choose to go into the Army?
Well, I actually wasn't allowed back to do A-levels at boarding school because I was a bit of a disruptive influence, so I thought I would take the Army on and try and beat that, and sadly failed. It took me 5 years to work that one out.
And where did you serve?
I started off in boy service. I was based in Chepstow under the Severn Bridge, the old Severn Bridge. And then after that I was posted to Cambridge, but we had tours in Germany, Italy, Belize and Northern Ireland.
And what was your experience of the Army?
Loved it. Actually, there was a lot of it I really did love, and I regretted coming out, and I should have really stuck at it. You know, it is a good life for a lot of people, but I suppose I was a bit more impetuous in those days and fell foul of a couple of people and just decided to cut loose and run, really.
And how long did you serve again?
5 years.
And what did you do after that?
I came out and actually went back, because part of the training that I did in the forces was the military side of the stuff that I do now, which is civil and structural engineering. But back in those days, my qualifications weren't recognised, so I had to go back to college and start all over again, having done 2 years of training, which was not bad because it just meant I went over stuff and actually learnt it properly second time around. And I did HNC, ONC, HNC over a number of years. Then I went and did a degree part-time for 4 years to get myself chartered.
And are you currently in work?
Yes, yeah, I work for myself. I have my own business, doing structural engineering.
What kind of projects have you worked on?
It's many and varied, really. It ranges from literally a beam over someone's living room where they want to knock a wall out to large-scale stuff, not generally the size and scale that we see around Trafalgar Square, but fairly, you know, large-sized buildings, office buildings, commercial buildings, that kind of stuff. But my market is mainly in the domestic area these days.
And what was your experience whilst you're in the Army of travelling abroad?
Fantastic. Well, I was too young, I think, to actually appreciate it. And now, I mean, I hated Belize, although I got a very nice suntan, but it was not a place that I wanted to be for 6 months. It was mainly, I think, it's because I had no advance warning. I was posted to my new unit, and within a week and a half, I was in a place that I'd never even heard of before I went there. So there was a bit of, you know, there was a lack of time to adjust to it, and it was. I'm fair-skinned, you know, I found the heat troublesome for a lot of the time and had to be really, really careful, but I did come back with a, you know, mahogany suntan and as fit as a butcher's dog. So.
And where else have you travelled since leaving the Army?
Not a great deal, really, because I liked Spain a lot and actually lived in Spain for a while, and so I built a place over there. And so generally, if I go abroad, it has just been to Spain. I've been to America once, but years and years ago, so didn't think much of that.
Why do you enjoy Spain so much?
I love the food, I love the climate, I love the people. Well, away from the touristy areas, you know, it's a totally different Spain, like most places, really. You know, it's it's just beautiful. The buildings are beautiful. It has my most favourite building in the entire world there, which is the Alhambra Palace, which is a stunning place. And the people that I've ever come in contact with there, I've just found are really, really genuinely nice people. So,
do you have any plans to permanently settle there?
I'd like to. Really depends on how much money I can make in this country, too, because I don't have the house out there anymore because it was the end of a relationship. So. So I lost a fair amount of money in that one, so it would take me a while to actually rebuild enough stock to go and do it again, have enough money to live on, which is the main thing, because we have another problem that we've had recently. A lot of expats are suffering, so, you know, with the downturn in the exchange rate. So I don't know. That would be my ultimate aim, but whether it will ever materialise, I don't know.
And And just to take you to the point, how did you first hear about the project?
It was actually the day it started with the guy that leapt on there with his anti-smoking crusade just before it was due to start. And I happened to see it on the BBC website and ran it and thought it was extremely funny, because I suppose it was my version of a kicking against authority. And there was a link to the One Another website, and I just flicked it on and I was instantly enthralled by it. And it's barely been off on my computer in the, whatever was it, 80 odd days since.
What attracts you to the project then?
I had my doubts as to whether to its longevity to start with. I thought people would get sort of fed up with it and, you know, lose interest in that. It's people watching, really, isn't it? But, you know, and I know it's been slagged off as Big Brother for Guardian readers, I think is the most common quote. Perhaps it is. I mean, you know, most of the people that are involved with it tend to be sort of well-spoken, intelligent type people. There's not really any what I call mongs, you know, involved with it. And it's not looking for that element of shock tactics like Big Brother is reduced to these days, because it's past its sell by day. And it is. It's something that's it's unique. I've never heard of anything like this before. You know, and the concept, you know, the people that have got themselves involved in it have been really, really, you know, genuinely want to be involved to the nth degree. Twitter has brought another unexpected dimension to it, I think, both from my part and I would guess from, you know, from Sky's part and everyone else's. I think it's taken off in a way that no one ever anticipated. And it's been great. It's enabled a lot more interaction between you know, the people running the project and ourselves. So from that point of view, yeah, it's great, and that's certainly kept my interest in it.
So what part have you played in the Twitter campaign?
I've been the one that's sort of the arch exponent, really, of what's called the twekling, the portmanteau of twittering and heckling. It was coined somewhere along the line. I don't quite know how I fell into that one. I think it was just going for the shock tactics, really, just to try and evoke some responses from people. And some people knew it was firm, tongue firmly in cheek. Other people, less so. It's been good. And yeah, I've been harsh on some occasions, and I fully expect to be treated exactly the same today.
So now you're about to go on the plinth. How exactly are you feeling?
Certainly terrified on one side, but it's also a lovely progression of the whole thing, because I applied for it, I didn't get a place. I expected just to be one of those that was doomed to forever twekling, really. And this came up at short notice, and I'm delighted, you know, that I've actually got the chance to progress through the twekling and go on the plinth rather than be a plinther and then become a twekler, as is the instant, you know, is instance for most people.
And what do you plan to do with your hour on the plinth?
Well, because I haven't had much time to plan for it, obviously. But when I was a kid, I was given these very, very small scale bricks, and you had a special mortar that you mixed up, and you can actually lay the bricks like a normal bricklayer would, but on a very, very small scale. And it taught me how to build walls that didn't fall over and how to strengthen them, that kind of thing. And from that, it generated my interest in wanting to be in the building industry. And I'm fortunate that it led to me doing a job that I love. And it's not a job, actually. I'm doing something that I enjoy every day. I'm passionate about it. I love structural engineering, making things stand up and having to think about how it stands up. And it all came from this simple little kit. I've never seen it since, but I've often gone on about it, and sometime this year my other half actually found it somewhere and came home with a big box of it, very similar stuff. But I've been very, very busy, and then aided with the amount of time I spend on One Another. I haven't had the chance to actually play with it, really, is for want of a better description. So I'm actually going to do that up in the plinth. I'm going to explain it to people and say, you know, why I'm doing it, and, you know, and this kind of thing is what led to the passion that I have for the job that I do now. And I'm going to see if it still invokes the same passion, but if it doesn't, then I'll stop and talk to John or someone, or just take it how it goes, really. So it's fairly open-ended. I mean, I don't want to spend the whole hour just laying bricks, because clearly that's going to be really boring for other people. But I just want to have a go with it and make a mess and see how it goes. And I'm sure I'm going to have to contend with the Twitterers at the same time anyway, so, which may well have an influence on how far I get with it.
Being yourself a self-confessed twekler, do you feel there is a sort of push or a desire for you to entertain people whilst on the plinth?
I think we've probably all moaned when people haven't done that, but I also think our feelings have modified in that, because we've been able to sort of discuss it, you know, and I think one of the most telling comments made by one of the others was that it was a conversation bemoaning people who go up there and sit there and do nothing. But someone posted a very apposite statement, which was, if they really didn't want to be there, they wouldn't have turned up. So in their own way, they have got their own passion for it. So basically everybody that's gone on there has got their own, you know, is passionate about it. They just display it in different ways. But yeah, I mean, it is nice when there is entertainment, both from down on the ground with the heckling when it's good natured, and the twekling on Twitter as well when it's good natured, and from the, you know, the performances of the people themselves. And some hours fly, some don't. Yeah.
And what do you expect to gain from your hour on the plinth?
Other than some load of abuse, it's not. Aside from the whole art side of it, it's just, I'm putting myself in a situation that is not normally what I would do. I'm quite happy talking to a group of people around a table and stuff like that. If you stick me in the same group of people up in front of them and have to discuss it, I'm less so, and even less so on something like that where you're elevated, you can't hide really. So it's taking me outside my comfort zone, but I think really at the age I am, I really should put those sort of kinds of insecurities to rest. And and I watch other people that are far, far younger than me and how well they've dealt with it. And I think you know, they're to be admired, and I just hope I can actually do something similar really.
Being 50 now, have you looked back in your life and can you see that your perception or your life views have changed during your life?
I think if anything, I'm more just resigned. I hesitate to use the word cynical, but probably it is cynical that it doesn't matter how much you kick against something unless there's the will of the world out there that isn't going to change it. I was like that at school, I was like that in the army, and I've been like that through the vast majority of my working life. I don't know what the reasons in the background are for that. That's just the way I am. So, but less so. So I would say certainly I've mellowed in terms of I just can't be bothered really to get angry and upset about stuff. It's not important in the scheme of things, you know. And I know I'm not, if I double my life now, I'm going to be incontinent, infirm, and, you know, drooped in a chair all day long, and it's not a nice thought actually. So I'd quite rather go back the other way. And regress really, but I mean I don't feel 50 in my head, you know. I still feel that I'm sort of really in my 30 to early 30s. I think I stopped really at when I finished my degree, which was when I was 32, and I didn't really want to go any further than that. I just wanted to stop at that point, but you know, obviously you can't. But so yeah, I mean, I don't feel it. I have to remind myself that I am not a spring chicken anymore, you know. And you know, I look at the height of, say, the net off the side there, and I'm, you know, when I was in my 20s and in the army, as fit as a butcher's dog, I mean, I could have jumped down there and leapt back up without a moment's notice. But the last thing I want to do is go in there and then just end up sliding down like a cat sliding down a window, because I can't lift myself up. So I'm not aiming to go in there at all. So, well, I have had a good look at it structurally, and it's fine. So more than fine, actually. It's absolutely enormous for what it needs to do, but that's my professional opinion.
So what are your interests outside of work and one another?
Well, one of the things that one another has rekindled in me is an interest in photography, which stemmed from links on Twitter to people's Flickr sites, and one guy in particular called Victor, who comes up here, and he's here most days, I don't know anything about him other than I've seen his photographs, and they're really good quality stuff. And the good thing with Flickr is that you can go, actually go, you can get more details about the photograph, what type of lens was used, the focal length, the stop and everything else that's way too technical for me. But it made me start thinking about taking pictures in a different way. And I think one time he done it where he did a sequence called shooting from the hip, where he actually went through the square, literally down at his hip with a wide angle lens, and he got some and just took random photos as he walked through. And out of, I mean, I'm no doubt he got a whole load that were rubbish, but there were some really, really good ones taken from a really unusual angle. So, you know, and so it made me think more about my photography rather than just using it as a vehicle for photographing stuff for work and things like that. And I've been out and bought lenses and a new camera yesterday because I forgot my battery. So I've now got two proper cameras. So I should aim to get back into that in a big way. I'm not very good at doing hand drawings, which frustrates me greatly. I can draw it in my head, but it doesn't come down my arm. I can do technical drawings very well. That's just how I was trained. But I discovered Google SketchUp, I think, last year, which is fantastic because it allows me now to draw in the way that I would want to draw, in a sort of freehand sketchy way if I could actually do it. So that's me. It's those and walks, you know, the usual thing, walking the dog, and a fairly quiet life, really. So as much as it can be.
You've mentioned Twitter and cameras. You interested in technology?
Love it. I love playing with it. You know, I'm not a technophobe by any means. You know, I embrace all the new stuff, and it's nice when us silver-haired ones actually take over stuff that's aimed at young people like Twitter. I think it's more older people are actually going on it than youngsters. It's passé to them, and they still like Flickr and things. Not Flickr. I can't even think of the name of it now. Facebook. And you know, Facebook and similar ones like that. So, which I did have a Facebook account, but it just filled up with banal rubbish. Really, I've got better things to do than read this tribe. So, he says, twittering all night about the bloody plinth.
So, what do you think of the benefits of using Twitter?
Well, certainly in this particular, I mean, I had a Twitter account before this started, but I used it spasmodically, and I was probably more on Facebook than anything. I don't really know why I started a Facebook one, but certainly Twitter is being used now on this project in a way that it was never envisaged, I think, that it was going to be used. It's almost like a chat room with the hashtags and such like. Whether it will evolve into more like an instant messenger type service, I don't know. But I think it works. It works very well as it is, so I don't think they really need to change it, other than perhaps give you a bit more flexibility in terms of the number of characters that you can have per tweet. You know, but it does encourage you to try and think about how you're going to say stuff, you know, be brief rather than just drivelling on all the time. But although you can drivel on in 20 or 30 tweets as well, so it just takes a bit more effort and time. So, but yeah, I think it has been a brilliant thing and a brilliant addition to the project.
And what's important in your life?
These days, health, I think, and financially and physically, and you know, and the family, and just growing old as disgracefully as I can.
You mentioned a family. Do you have sons, daughters?
I have two daughters, 23 and 9. No, yeah, 22. 23 and 20. One's coming up for 20 in a few months' time. So they're all off my hands, and I've got two stepsons as well of the same age, and they all know one another because we went to school together. So. And I've got one grandson as well, of 5 years old.
Yeah. And how did you find becoming a father and then becoming a grandfather?
The father bit I love because I wasn't particularly old. I mean, I was only about 25, 26 when I became a dad. The grandfather less so because I didn't want to become one just before I was 50. But thanks to the morals of my daughter, she ensured that it was well before then. Well, I did. But he's smashing. You know, he's the son I never really had. Very, very intelligent. He was unfortunately struck down with leukemia when he was only 5 weeks old. Somehow he survived it, but it was touch and go for 6 months, and it was a very, very stressful time in everybody's life. And I suppose when you see things like that and you see a young child having to fight for its life, and somehow it has this innate sense of survival, you know, that you can't tell it about, you know, it's just there, and he he by rights should have been dead a long time ago, but he got through it, and he's an amazing little kid. He's smashing. He's very, very intelligent. He's a really, really funny, got a wicked sense of humour. I think, well, you know, that's really, really nice, and that's really all you need in life, you know, is your family and your health and a bit of money and a project to watch on the computer from time to time, I think.
And one final question, trying to get a portrayal of modern Britain, so I'm going to ask if you can to paint a picture of yourself generally at this moment of time in your life.
Blimey, interesting one. Not as comfortably financially as I would have liked to have been, because of the recession and people welching, you know, I lost a lot of money last year with bad clients and such like. I was winding down towards a gentle retirement to do what, I don't know, but just ease out of the race a bit more. But that's obviously been put back now, but I guess it's the same for everybody, really. So it's just a question, I guess, of just trying to carry on, you know, and do right as much as you can by other people and expect to be, you know, as you would expect to be treated, really. So.